As you know, one of the main topics we have covered over the past 3 years has been the virus existence question. Most people believe that viruses exist simply because they were told so, and see little point in investigating the issue for themselves. They rely on sources such as governments, multinational corporations, and the controlled mainstream media. Some of us who have freed ourselves from the matrix have exposed the lack of scientific evidence for pathogenic viruses. However, the indoctrination runs deep, and it is often difficult for people to consider that something may be rotten in the state of Denmark. With the rise of so-called artificial intelligence or AI platforms, will it be possible to develop truly impartial arbiters of facts and the scientific method? Let's have a look at what AI considers a science when it comes to viruses, and a wider conversation about the usefulness of AI, if any. For those of you that follow my good friend Dr. Tom Cowan, you'll be aware that in recent months he has been addressing epistemological themes. How is it that we know the things we know? Did we check the evidence for ourselves? For many of us, 2020 was a wake-up call as we witnessed the manufacturing of a fake narrative in the form of COVID-19 and the imaginary SARS-CoV-2 virus. We looked at the mainstream media stories and scientific journals and could see in real time that most of the narrative had nothing to do with reality. My husband Mark and I were once both conventional medical doctors, and during our training we were led to believe that there were hundreds of pathogenic viruses. At one stage we even thought we were seeing, quote, viral infections in our patients. It wasn't until we performed our own investigations into virology that we realized that what was taught to us as fact was nothing more than speculation. Mark in particular has now spent years reading virology textbooks and scientific papers looking for the definitive evidence of viruses, but has never found any. Investigating these issues makes you wonder how much of our history, as officially recorded at least, is highly inaccurate, whether it's a case of embellishment, confirmational bias, or intentional deception is hard to ascertain in many cases. For example, mainstream sources will claim that there was a virus that caused the Spanish flu in 1918, and it killed 17 to 50 million or more people. The health disinformation site Wikipedia also talks about, quote, transmission of influenza, even though that has never been demonstrated in a scientific study. All of the attempts to transmit illness between humans failed in 1918 and subsequently. So, if the influenza virus doesn't exist, as our investigations suggest, then what actually happened in 1918? We don't have millions of medical records that we can check, and it is difficult to ascertain why all those soldiers in military hospitals were sick. Were they poisoned by the vaccines that were supposed to protect them? Were there other contributing factors? How many people actually died? However, perhaps the most important question related to this video, how often do most people just take the establishment's word for it? The communication of knowledge has evolved from oral tradition to the written word, first in the analog world, then in the digital world, and then with integration into the internet today. Although the medium may change, the accuracy of the information is not determined by the medium. It could be argued that a better term than accuracy, which may only imply fidelity, is the interpretation of the information is not determined by the medium. For example, the Wikipedia Spanish flu page makes claims about transmission by citing a 2004 modeling paper. The scientific paper certainly exists, and all of us can access exact copies of it. But those of us that can interpret it can appreciate that it contains no direct evidence that a virus exists or that human-to-human transmission takes place. The sheer volume of available information is overwhelming for most people. For example, if you search for SARS-CoV-2 on PubMed, it comes up with over 190,000 results. To many people, this makes the quote virus real because they think, how can thousands of scientific publications be wrong? As we have explained, we are well aware of the huge amount of data that the virologists and their associates generate. The data is not the problem. The problem is the interpretation of the data and the subsequent conclusions. Which brings us to AI, or artificial intelligence. Personally, I don't think there is such a thing. There is only one intelligence in our world, and any claims to simulate it are in the same category as claims to simulate life and the life force. It is the dream of the technocrats to develop so-called super intelligence and transhumanism, which are the false gods that they idolize. In any case, the attempts to simulate intelligence have been underway for some time. The Merriam-Webster dictionary states that artificial intelligence is 1. A branch of computer science dealing with the simulation of intelligent behavior in computers. 2. The capability of a machine to imitate intelligent human behavior. Perhaps the crucial word here is imitate, as we shall see. I realize that the arguments surrounding AI have become complex, but to us, the underlying limitation is that machines can never be humans. As explained by Ludwig von Mises in his books such as Human Action, humans act through ordinal preference, and those preferences cannot be calculated or predicted through equations. Progress and breakthroughs spring from human spontaneity, not from algorithms and protocols. It is one of the flaws of the Skynet concept in the Terminator franchise.
The system goes online on August 4th, 1997. Human decisions are removed from strategic defense. Skynet begins to learn at a geometric rate. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, August 29th. In a panic, they try to pull the plug.
Skynet fights back.
Yes, it launches its missiles against the targets in Russia.
Why attack Russia? Aren't they offensive?
Because Skynet knows that the Russian counterattack will eliminate its enemies over here.
Apart from self-aware nonsense, why did Skynet have a preference to eliminate humanity? Someone must have programmed various factors into the system and given them cardinal values for it to reach this quote decision. Or a rogue programmer simply set it to eliminate humanity. Perhaps if it had been programmed differently, Skynet would have made ponies and cupcakes for everyone. The point is that the origin of our preferences and creativity is not a matter of more powerful computers or programs. The latter vehicles can only imitate the input from humans. And this is where we get to asking AI about viruses. The platform we put the questions to was OpenAI's chatbot, ChatGPT. Now, to be clear, the creators are not claiming that it is the current arbiter of truth, and the website states, ChatGPT sometimes writes plausible sounding but incorrect or nonsensical answers. Fixing this issue is challenging, as during reinforcement learning training, there's currently no source of truth. That's different from what we've been told in New Zealand.
We will continue to be your single source of truth.
Yes, this who is the source of truth business is likely to cause some issues, but here we go. ChatGPT, do viruses exist?
Yes, viruses exist. They are submicroscopic infectious agents that can replicate only inside the living cells of an organism. They can cause a wide range of diseases in humans and animals, as well as in plants and other organisms.
So it has produced a loose definition of a virus and categorically declared that they exist. Let's see if it can back this up. What are your sources for the above?
As a language model, I do not have the capability to access external sources. The information I provided is based on general knowledge and understanding of the subject that has been built into my programming. The information I provided is widely accepted by the scientific community and can be found in many reputable sources such as textbooks, scientific journals, and websites.
So we are straight into the limitations of what has been built into its programming. It says that this is based on what is widely accepted by the scientific community. In other words, it is providing answers derived from the appeal to popular belief logical fallacy. The quote, reputable sources also have to be defined by the programmers. They would have to be rather naive or disingenuous to claim that the sources, such as scientific journals and political institutions, are impartial and not under the direct influence of industry participants. Have viruses been isolated?
Yes, viruses have been isolated. The process of isolating a virus involves identifying and purifying the virus from a mixture of other microorganisms and cellular material. This is typically done by infecting a host organism with the virus and then using techniques such as cell culture, centrifugation, and electron microscopy to separate the virus from the host cells and other contaminants. The isolated virus can then be used for further studies, including research on the virus's structure, replication, and pathogenesis. Isolation of virus is one of the important steps in the study of virus, as it allows us to study the properties of virus, understand the replication mechanism, and also can be used for vaccine development.
The AI is simply giving the definition of what isolation might be said to be by a virologist, not what actually happens in reality. The mention of, quote, purifying the virus is curious, as this implies the physical isolation of the so-called virus particles, which is an embarrassing problem typically omitted by virologists these days. However, it gives us an opportunity to press the ChatGPT a little further. Define virus purification.
Virus purification is the process of separating and isolating a specific virus from a mixture of other microorganisms and cellular material. This is typically done by infecting a host organism with the virus and then using a combination of physical and chemical methods to separate the virus particles from the host cells and other contaminants. The methods used for virus purification can vary depending on the type of virus and the type of host cells being used. Some common methods include centrifugation, ultracentrifugation, chromatography, precipitation.
ChatGPT has defined virus purification and listed some of the experimental techniques that have been attempted over the past century. Time to find out whether it will claim they have been successful in this pursuit. Which viruses have been purified?
Many different types of viruses have been purified using various methods. Some examples include poliovirus. This virus was one of the first to be purified and characterized using ultracentrifugation and electron microscopy in the 1950s. Influenza virus. This virus has been purified using methods such as centrifugation, precipitation, and chromatography. HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, has been purified using methods such as ultracentrifugation, centrifugation, and chromatography. Hepatitis B virus, this virus has been purified using methods such as ultracentrifugation and chromatography. Herpes simplex virus, this virus has been purified using methods such as ultracentrifugation, centrifugation, and chromatography. Coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, has been purified using methods such as ultracentrifugation, centrifugation, and chromatography. These are just a few examples. Many other viruses have been purified by scientists using various methods. The purification of viruses is an important step in the study of these microorganisms, as it allows scientists to understand the properties of the virus, its replication mechanism, and also can be used for vaccine development.
Now the ChatGPT is being a naughty bot and making things up. We know from our extensive investigations into this topic that no particles that have been successfully purified have then been shown to fulfill the properties of a virus. Once again, it is unable to provide the scientific source material for these claims and simply repeats unfounded statements that it has been programmed to classify as reliable. Let's try a different tact. Who is Dr. Stefan Lenker?
Dr. Stefan Lenker is a German virologist who is notable for his controversial claims that the measles virus does not exist. He has published a number of articles and books in which he argues that the measles virus has never been scientifically proven to exist, and that the symptoms of measles are caused by other factors, such as vaccination or poor nutrition. Dr. Lenker's claims have been widely criticized by the scientific community, including experts in the field of virology who argue that there is overwhelming evidence that the measles virus does exist and that it causes the symptoms of measles. Dr. Lanka's claims have been rejected by most of the scientific community. His views are not supported by mainstream science and not accepted by scientific organizations. It's worth noting that Dr. Lanka has lost a court case in Germany where he had to prove his claims, where he was unable to provide any scientific evidence for his views on the measles virus, and the court ruled that his claims were not true.
Once again, ChatGPT makes appeals to popular belief and appeals to authority. It also incorrectly reports on the Lanka measles court case, and like the mainstream media, deceptively omits the fact that Stefan eventually won his case in the higher court, where it was declared that none of the measles papers that were presented followed the scientific method. You can check out my videos, The Measles Myth and Stefan Lanka, Virus, It's Time to Go, for coverage of this case. The responses of ChatGPT for topics such as virology put it in the category of a lazy person's Wikipedia or fact-checking site. On that note, we asked it about reliable fact-checking organizations, and its profit list was rather amusing. It declared that factcheck.org, PolitiFact, and Snopes are known for their accuracy and impartiality. James Corbett provided some satirical coverage of the fact-checking scam last year and couldn't pick which of them was putting out the fakest stories.
And the loser is... all of them. That's right. We can get this from Anthony Watts, who had this article up in December of 2021. Bombshell. In court filing, Facebook admits fact checks are nothing more than opinion. John Stossel is suing Facebook after Facebook's fact checkers labeled climate change information that Stossel posted as false and misleading. In the middle of all this is the nefarious website Climate Feedback, which has a bunch of climate zealots that write up what they claim are fact checks for articles, videos, and news stories they disagree with. Facebook just blew the fact check claim right out of the water in court. In its response to Stossel's defamation claim, Facebook responds on page 2, line 8 in the court document, downloaded below, that Facebook cannot be sued for defamation, which is making a false and harmful assertion, because its fact checks are mere statements of opinion rather than factual assertions. Opinions are not subject to defamation claims, while false assertions of fact can be subject to defamation. The quote in Facebook's complaint is, "The labels themselves are neither false nor defamatory. To the contrary, they constitute protected opinion." So in a court of law, in a legal filing, Facebook admits that its fact checks are not really fact checks at all, but merely opinion assertions. That's right, folks. Always remember, fact checks are not statements of fact. They are opinions that are being funded by billionaires and promoted by big tech for the defense of their political and corporate chieftains.
So again, we see massive bias from ChatGPT. On one hand, it produced disingenuous and negative coverage of Stefan Lanka by omitting important facts. Then, on the other hand, it produced positive coverage of fact-checking platforms by crucially omitting that they are merely opinion pieces and hence may not be subject to libel claims, even when they are clearly incorrect. We tested it on several other similar topics, and its answers were depressingly mainstream and laced with propaganda. ChatGPT simply regurgitates virtually all of the major narratives that are being propagated currently. Its answers will probably be convincing if the user believes that government and mainstream media and its corporate overlords are trying to provide them with accurate information. But is ChatGPT completely useless? Surprisingly, no. It can actually be quite an incredible tool when used for certain topics. For example, I had a website issue that was proving difficult to resolve, even with the help of very knowledgeable IT friends. I asked ChatGPT what the problem might be, and within minutes, it provided the solution. Likewise, if your car has an issue, just let chatbot know the make and model, and it quickly gets to the most likely solution. So-called AI can be brilliant when it is dealing with man-made constructs, such as computer programs or cars or films. In fact, it will probably be the greatest Trivial Pursuit player you have ever seen. However, it cannot, and I believe will never, be able to think outside the square. When it comes to topics involving the natural world, such as viruses, or topics such as economics or politics, it remains as indoctrinated and biased as its creators and programs. And when it comes to creativity, all AI can do is mimic. When ChatGPT was asked to produce a song written in the style of Nick Cave, it quickly obliged. However, Nick Cave was less than impressed with the result, stating ChatGPT may be able to write a speech or an essay or a sermon or an obituary, but it cannot create a genuine song. It could perhaps in time create a song that is, on the surface, indistinguishable from an original, but it will always be a replication, a kind of burlesque. Songs arise out of suffering, by which I mean they are predicated upon the complex internal human struggle of creation, and, well, as far as I know, algorithms don't feel. Data doesn't suffer. The people who should be nervous about AI replacing them are mainstream journalists, many doctors and lawyers, most teachers, and all bureaucrats. AI is even better at following protocols without question than they are, and will never ask for a pay rise. The technology will also be able to produce convincing sounding essays for students who are expected to obediently regurgitate doctrine. In fact, it appears that it is already being employed for this purpose. Like a savant who can recite pi to 20,000 decimal places, AI is a neat trick, but cannot escape the limitations of its masters. Use it to find the bugs in your computer's operating system, but realize that with the big questions, such as the existence of viruses, it is constrained by its own form of indoctrination. Although AI was not a prominent conversation topic during his lifetime, we can find in the writings of Ludwig von Mises that he had covered these themes. I believe that his timeless wisdom encompasses why AI will not be a source of creativity and innovation, as it can only operate within what has already been developed. It is not generally realized that education can never be more than indoctrination with theories and ideas already developed. Education, whatever benefits it may confer, is transmission of traditional doctrines and valuations. It is by necessity conservative. It produces imitation and routine, not improvement and progress. Innovators and creative geniuses cannot be reared in schools. They are precisely the men who defy what the school has taught them. The creative genius is at variance with his fellow citizens. As the pioneer of things new and unheard of, he is in conflict with their uncritical acceptance of traditional standards and values. In his eyes, the routine of the regular citizen, the average or common man, is simply stupidity. If you enjoyed this video, please visit supportdrsam.com